This week on Potlatch, Senator Ted Stevens tells about amending the Native Land Claims Act, and Gordon Jackson tells about implementing the Bush Justice Conferences. Never on Sunday with Chet Atkins. Here's a report now from the office of Alaska Senator Ted Stevens.
Senator, 2 weeks ago you stated here that you intended to combine your many bills pertaining to the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act into one omnibus clarification bill. You've now introduced this bill. Please briefly summarize what measures your bill will comprise.
Yes, I've decided that there should be an omnibus bill to settle the remaining issues of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, including a clarification of the intent of Congress to prevent any further litigation based upon the concept of Aboriginal title. In this omnibus bill I've introduced is first a provision to extend the enrollment deadline to allow all eligible natives to enroll for benefits under the Act. Secondly, we direct the Secretary of Interior to establish an escrow fund for revenues received by the Department of Interior for activities on federal lands that are already selected by the natives. This would give the revenues to the native people when the title is finally delivered to them, and it would permit a third provision would require the federal government to pay interest on these monies while they're held in the fund awaiting the transfer of title. We also have a provision to extend the Federal State Land Use Planning Commission until June 30th, 1979. Another provision, which was requested by several villages, is a provision to allow village corporations within the same region to merge with either the regional corporations or with each other in order to bring about greater operational efficiency under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. We have another provision which would state that the issuance of stock in any merger or consolidation would be exempt from the registration requirements of the SEC Act of 1933 until 1991, which is the time when that stock could be transferable. We're seeking an authorization for a $250,000 grant to four Native corporations in Juneau, Kodiak, Kenai, and Sitka to help the natives of those areas carry out their special land selection rights under the ANSCA. Also, I believe that Sealaska and southeastern Alaska should be permitted to acquire 200,000 acres of land in the Tongass National Forest, which would be adjacent to the lands they're entitled to under the Act. This is necessary for them to be able to get their full entitlement. And as I said in the beginning, this bill will reaffirm the congressional intent to terminate all litigation concerning the Aboriginal claims in Alaska and permit everyone to start with clear title under both the Alaska Statehood Act and the Alaska Native Land Claims Act.
Yeah. sundown with jagged lines of tears that gave in those first years all the peace I'd ever won. Your body in the gloom, the platform fading back, your shadow on the track, a flower upon a tomb. And why these days ahead, when I must let you cry and live prepared to die as if our love were dead. The dove has torn her wings, so no more songs of love. We are not here.
La Colombe, or The Dove, by Joan Baez. A report now from Anchorage. As Alaska Federation of Natives Executive Director for Human Resources, Gordon Jackson tells about himself, his job, and three new positions in administering bush justice.
I'm from a little community in southeast Alaska called Kake. It's spelled K-A-K-E. Went to grade school there, went to high school at Sheldon Jackson High School in Sitka, Alaska. Graduated from there in 64, went to junior college there for a while, and then transferred to Whitworth College in Spokane, Washington, where I spent a year, then transferred to the University of Alaska, and graduated from there in 1970. 2 years ago, there was an advertisement for a position, Johnson O'Malley Director. Johnson O'Malley program was previously contracted to the state, but recently the state decided to provide more Native input into the development of Johnson O'Malley programs. So they created a review committee, and the review committee established a budget, and in that was a director to administer it within AFN. And I applied, and I was hired in October of 1973. Executive Vice President, I am directly responsive to first a Human Resource Committee composed of a representative from each of the nonprofit regional corporations in the state of Alaska. And they developed the policies for me to carry out, and we're charged with the huge responsibility of seeking solutions to Alaska Native problems in the areas of education, health, social services, manpower, justice. A huge charge. And in addition, I also am the supervisor for most of the programs within AFN, like Johnson O'Malley, Alaska Student Higher Education Program, manpower, health affairs, and soon justice. About a year ago, a second Bush Justice Conference was held in Minto, and during the conference, they realized that one of the weaknesses of the first one was that there was no follow-up. So they created a Bush Justice Implementation Committee, which would be charged with the responsibility of follow-up. That committee operated under the Alaska Legal Services initially, but then they decided that it would logically be, should be under the AFN Human Resources Committee. So in July, the Human Resources Committee accepted as a subcommittee. And we began to seek funding, you know, for a follow-up staff, which was composed of a director, field worker, and administrative assistant. So we applied to the Law Enforcement Assistance Agency here in the state, and it went before the Governor's Commission on the Administration of Justice in September of 1974 and received a unanimous vote of approval. But for several months, we worked with them, modifying the program, and finally, just a few days ago, the Law Enforcement Assistance Agency announced the grant of $60,000 to fund that staff, and they'd be charged with follow-up. And believe me, there's a considerable amount of recommendations to follow up on. It's really exciting because I think, personally, justice in the bush is a myth. The delivery systems are located in the urban areas like Fairbanks, Anchorage, Juneau, and justice in the bush in rural Alaska is almost non-existent. And that staff would follow up and seek a system whereby justice in the bush would be a reality.
Jackson was asked why the AFN is involving itself in bush justice.
It's a priority established by first the AFN Human Resources Committee last summer, you know, to follow up on the many recommendations of justice, and felt very strongly enough that it is a priority item. So as staff, I'm following up on the recommendations of my policymaking body, the Human Resources Committee.
Isn't bush justice the responsibility of the state?
It is a task of the state. However, if you think that, you know, they aren't doing a really adequate job and reference the second and the first Bush Justice Conference, they came out with a number of recommendations, and the recommendations are long. They're many pages long. Because it isn't happening in rural Alaska, we need a staff to come up with a plan of action, an activities to implement many recommendations, such as the expansion of the judicial districts, legal assistance for communities out in rural Alaska, which, by the way, we pushed in a bill and is being signed by the governor shortly. Community Legal Assistance Grant Program for $50,000. You know, a lot of small communities are very small and don't have the financial capability to hire an attorney, you know, to take a look at their ordinances, codify them, and even determine whether or not municipality would be the way to go for some small traditional villages and a whole number of other things like that. But anyway, justice is a statewide issue, and it's a statewide priority established by my committee. And so therefore, we're getting into the system of coming up with recommendations to perhaps bring this system into the rural Native communities and get it working.
Jackson tells where the AFN is getting the money to administer justice and pay for the three new positions.
The Law Enforcement Assistance Agency. It's funded by a LEAA Indian Desk discretionary grant. In every state, there's a category which is called discretionary money, and it's granted to Indian tribes and tribal organizations.
Jackson comments on the achievements of the first two Bush Justice Conferences.
Well, the first Bush Justice Conference was held in Alyeska. Seems kind of funny that a Bush Justice Conference would be held in Alyeska. But according to the evaluation done by the Alaska Legal Services, not very many accomplishments were recorded. But after the second Bush Justice Conference, which was held in Minto, which is the Bush area finally, they decided that one of the weaknesses of the first Bush Justice Conference was no adequate follow-up. You know, that was one of the big chief reasons why the Bush Justice Implementation Committee was organized. And it's by way of a resolution of the whole conference. The people that are on there include Mitch Dementoff from Nenana, Jake Gregory from Bristol Bay, Philip Guy from Quethluck, and Brenda Itta from Barrow, and myself, which was kind of surprising because I lived in Anchorage at the time and was employed by the AFN, but we met a couple times, and we organized. I was elected chairman, surprisingly, and we came up with a number of recommendations that that surprisingly, a lot of them were translated into legislation, and one of them, as I stated, was went through both houses and will soon be signed by the governor. And that bill was introduced and supported by the governor.
Should there be another Bush Justice Conference?
Yes, and that's one of the priority items, I think, that the Bush Justice staff is going to work on, because we need a another one to assess just exactly what kind of accomplishments we've made, you know, as just a monitoring committee, and point out more weaknesses and point out more needs. And and I think that it's a good idea to assess ourselves and evaluate needs annually. And I think by way of another Bush Justice Conference, that would be attained. Not all our activity is in the area of justice. As I stated, we have a statewide organization composed of a Human Resources Committee. We've been involved in a number of issues around the state. Those include education in an unorganized borough. Once again, we held a conference in Fairbanks to assess the delivery systems, and we came up with a number of recommendations to change the system. One of the delivery systems, one of them was House Bill 24 and Senate Bill 35, which would dissolve the Alaska State Operated Schools and move into regional education attendance areas with the school boards elected, not appointed, as is the case with the state operated school system. And those regional education attendance areas would have the same powers as any municipal school district, which is the power to hire and fire, determine your own curriculum, the power to budget, and all number of other things like that. But anyway, the Human Resources Committee, I think, and the Office of the Executive Vice President has made the statewide organization more responsive to not only land claims issues, but also many of the huge problems in the areas of Alaska Native human resource development. And we've done something a little different this past year. We're no longer just interested in the passage of motions and meetings or the passage of resolutions. We're taking many of these needs that have laid around for sometimes decades. We're translating them into state legislation to eliminate or alleviate those needs, and we've been quite successful. We've submitted legislation in education all the way from preschool to higher ed in areas of justice, and feel very proud of our accomplishments up to this date.
The Alaska Federation of Natives Executive Vice President for Human Resources, Gordon Jackson of CAIC. June 12th, 13th, and 14th marked a big event in Alaska, especially in interior Alaska. The annual Nuchalawoya was held in Tanana. We hope to get you some reports from Nuchalawoya in later programs, but for now, a recording by the special guest at Nuchalawoya, Cody Bearpaw, singing Winter Love.
The rain was turning into snow. I told her that I loved her. She turned my dream world into love. So we lived on together. Seasons come and seasons go, but love goes on forever.
can be my winter love. Sow seeds of love in early spring, then wait all through the summer. See the harvest fall can bring. Then we'll both love him through the winter. Offspring of our love found his shelter through the summer and made his way of life to make it through the winter. Winter came and pushed your summers out of season and took away my winter love, leaving me without a reason. Seasons come and seasons go. Yes, I lost my winter love on a morning in December.
Special guest at Nucha La Jolla, held in mid-June, Cody Bearpaw. Finally, on Potlatch, this announcement from the United States Department of the Interior Bureau of Indian Affairs. The Office of the Commissioner of Indian Affairs has said their charter has been authorized for the Institute of American Indian Arts to begin operating a middle college program, including the 11th and 12th grades at a high school level, and a two-year junior college program at the Institute of American Arts in Cerrillos Road, Santa Fe, New Mexico. So if you're interested, you can write to them at the Institute of American Indian Arts, Cerrillos, Cerrillos Road in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and the zip code is 87501. We'll mention that again next time on Potlatch. This is Jeff Kennedy. Thank you for listening. Potlatch is produced in the studio of KUAC in College under Title I of the Higher Education Act.